Go with me, if you would, back to 1 John chapter 3. We read three verses for our scripture reading. We are only going to look at the first one tonight. But every believer who knows these verses loves these verses. Every believer who knows what we just read a moment ago loves what we just read a moment ago. I was thinking about all this and imagining what it would be like to be in glory, standing there in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying to each other, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." We can't imagine that. We cannot imagine that, but it sure is nice trying. One day, we are going to behold. We're going to behold. But the amazing thing about this verse is this glorious news that it declares applies to us right now. What it is saying applies to us right now. Verse 1 starts with, "Behold." Behold, that's an important word. That's a powerful word. That word deserves a selah right after it. Behold, perceive this. Be in awe of this. When that word behold goes out, it means be in awe of this. Throughout the scripture, the word behold comes with some very important declarations. Some very amazing moments. Some amazing moments. Very awesome, full of awe moments and declarations. Don't turn, but Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, "Behold." Think about this. All right, think about this. A virgin shall conceive. Behold. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Behold, God is coming to you. And when the time came, the angels appeared. They appeared to some shepherds that were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And this is what the angels cried, "Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day." This is what they came and declared. It's today. All right, this Savior that was promised, this Savior that was promised He would come, behold, a virgin is going to conceive and bear a son and call His name Emmanuel. Well, He was born today. In the city of David, that very Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. Those are both full of awe moments. Full of awe things to declare, declarations. At God's appointed time, John the Baptist was standing by a river one day preaching to a group of people. And this same Jesus walked up and John cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Just think about that statement. Behold God's substitute sacrifice. As a picture of what our Lord would do for His people, He stayed where He was. He didn't go anywhere when He heard that His dear friend Lazarus was very sick. He just stayed right there so Lazarus could die. And after He died, our Lord went to His grave and stood there weeping. Now you talk about a full of awe moment. Standing there watching the God-man weeping over one of His own. All who saw it, this is what they said. Behold how He loved him. And He proved that He loved him by crying, Lazarus, come forth. Live. Lazarus, live. And when Lazarus came forth, our Lord said, loose him and let him go. And that's what He did for all of His people when He loosed them from their curse of sin. He was made a curse for them. That's amazing. Behold, He was made a curse for every single one of His people. And for every soul that He did that for, He's coming back with clouds. The Scripture says, behold, every eye shall see Him. Even the very ones that pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Those are all full of awe declarations. Our text tonight is no different. This is a behold moment. Verse 1, He said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, be in awe of that fact. That some sinful sons of Adam have been made to be sinless sons of God. That's amazing. That's amazing. What did it take for a sinful son of Adam to be made, to be called a son of God? What did it take? It took an indescribable love. That's what it took. An indescribable love. Amazing love. Amazing love. He said in verse 1, behold what manner. That's what He's wanting us to perceive and be in awe of. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. When you look up that word manner, we go into the concordance and there's a translation or a definition of all of these words. And when you look that one up, it has an interesting definition. It means from what country? That's what it means. Where it came from. It means what sort or quality, and it means at what time, how long, when. Now think about this. Behold where this love came from. Behold where it came from. From what country? It came from God. This came from God. We weren't made to be sons so that God could love us. We were made to be sons because God did love us. That's why we were made to be sons. It came to us from God. This is love directly from God, from heaven itself. Look over at one chapter, 1 John 4, verse 9. It says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That tells us not only where it's from, but that also tells us what sort or quality it is. What did that love do? How deep did it go? How effectual was it? How sincere was it? You know that old saying, actions speak louder than words? And that's the truth, isn't it? Actions speak louder than words. Well, He gave us His words, and He gave us His actions. Greater love had no man than this. He laid down His life for His friends. And who were His friends? Who did He love? Verse 10 right here says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He loved sinners. He loved sinners. Let's read Romans 5 together. We go here a lot, but it's a good thing to do. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The ungodly enemies. Behold, amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, would die for me? Amazing love. Go with me back to 1 John 3. Behold where this love came from. Behold the quality, the effectual quality. And behold at what time. Behold how long. Behold when the Father bestowed this love upon us. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's good news when you know that you are unlovely. I love you from everlasting to everlasting. This is one of my favorites. Hold your place right here. We're going to flip right back, but go to John 13. We're going to go to John a few more times if you want to put a marker there. John 13 verse 1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them all the way to the end. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, sinners like us, but chosen of God. Sinners like us, but chosen of God. Chosen to be his people. Chosen to be given to Christ. Chosen to believe. Think about that. Chosen to believe. Sometimes we become lifted up with pride thinking, well, at least I believe. They don't even believe. We were chosen to believe. Chosen to believe not only in him, but on him. Now flip back to our text. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's what we've been made to be. Sons of God. How were we made to be sons of God? Now, I enjoyed this. All right, I enjoyed this. How were we made to be sons of God? Look back at John chapter 1. John 1 verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, it does not say accepted. It just said that his own didn't want to have anything to do with him. But thank God, his gift and his work of grace was irresistible. And his people received it in spite of the fact that they wanted nothing to do with him. All of his people received it. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, that means the right or the privilege, to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. And how did they become sons? Verse 13 says, they were born. Which were born, not of blood, not by a family tree or a family name. You're not saved because you're born into this congregation. Verse 13 says, nor of the will of the flesh, not by any decision that any person made on his own. Verse 13 says, nor of the will of man, not by any decision or work from any other sinful man or woman. Verse 13 says, it was of God. It was of God. All of God's people are made to be children. They're made to be sons by birth, by creation. They're all born of God. A new life is given. A new creation directly from the Spirit of God. Blessed assurance, the Lord Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. All of God's people can say, I was born here. I belong here. I'm a child by birth. That's not the only way we were made to be sons. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Not only are we sons of God by birth, we're sons of God by adoption. What that means is a covenant was made. And a payment was made. A promise has been given to us. Ephesians 1 says, by Jesus Christ to himself. That means that he says to his people, this is what he says to his people, you're mine. You're mine by birth and by adoption. There's no way that it can be said you're not mine. You're mine by birth and by adoption. That's what he says to his people. All right, now I have an illustration of that. It's been a long time since I've told this illustration. I put them aside and let it go by a little while and then bring it. I think it's been years. I put this one aside for a long time. But this is what he's saying. All right, this is what he's saying. Years ago, Brother Walter Gruver told the story of a little boy in Mexico who desperately, desperately wanted a kite. All right, he was a little boy, and he wanted a kite so badly. And he told his dad, I'd love to have a kite. And his father felt terrible because he could not afford to buy his son a kite. They were so poor. They work all day. They make nothing. And finally, the father said, I tell you what, son, how about let's make a kite? And the son got so excited. And he said, yeah, that sounds good. Let's make a kite. So they got some real lightweight cloth. And they got some small sticks. Twined them all together into a frame. And they sewed that cloth onto that frame, and they put a tail on it and put a string on it and threw it up and started flying. And that boy was so excited. And they started letting that kite out, and there it went. The kite got higher and higher and higher, and he was so excited until the string broke. And the kite blew over the trees. And the little boy was just heartbroken. And the father was heartbroken for him. And they lost their kite. A few days later, that little boy was walking in the village, walking down the main road of the village, and he looked over in a store, and sitting on the shelf was his kite. And he ran into that store, and he said, Mister, that's my kite. And the store owner said, no, son, that's my kite. And he said, but mister, my father and I made that kite. And he said, well, I found that kite a few days ago in the weeds, and it's mine now. And if you want that kite, it's going to cost you 2 pesos. So that little boy ran home and he told his dad, he said, Father, I found our kite. It's in a store in the village. And the man said, if I want to get that kite, it's going to cost me 2 pesos. So his dad reached into his pocket, pulled out 2 pesos, gave them to his son. That little boy ran back into town, laid his money on the counter and said, 2 pesos. Store owner grabbed that kite and handed it to the little boy. And that little boy hugged that kite. Oh, he was so happy. He hugged that kite. And the store owner heard him say as he was walking out the door, he said, you're mine. You're mine. He said, you're twice mine. I made you and I bought you. And that's what he's saying. You're twice mine. I made you. And I bought you. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God, sons by creation and adoption. Sons by birth and by payment. Right here in Romans 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Go with me over to Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verse 1. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Behold what manner of love. Behold the love. I want to read this to you. This is a hymn writer wrote this a long time ago, and this is just so good, and it's so true. This is one of the verses in his song. He said, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Behold what manner of love." Behold what manner of love. Go back to our text and we're done. 1 John 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." This is life eternal, that men and women might know Him. And this world naturally does not know Him. But to all of His children, He reveals Himself. "No man knows the Son but the Father, and no man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal Him." And this is that precious assurance that He gives to all His people that they are His children. He reveals Himself. He reveals who He is and what He did and who He did it for and why He did it for them. He reveals all of it to them. And He said in a few different places, and we were going to turn, but we're not. He said, "You know Him. You've seen Him." Philip said, "Show us the Father." He said, "You've seen Him. If you see me, you've seen Him." In John 17, He said, "Father, I've manifested Thy name to them. They know You. And they're in You, and I'm in them." In Christ, we know and we see God. We see everything He's done for us. All of it to be in Him. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." And what that ultimately means is, as He is, so are we in this world. That's another behold. That's a behold. All right, let's all stand together.